Hello, my name is Patrick Whalen. I'm the author of Traitors, Heroes, or Gods, Book One of the Journey series. This is a Christian science fiction novel, and it involves two gentlemen that are over in Africa digging up fossils, and they come across, discover a metal object that turns out to be an ancient spaceship. As they discover more and more about it, they ask for help from their friends, but they get in loads of trouble with different characters. And as they fight their way through that, they discover that the spaceship actually is something that talks to them and tells them about an alien empire that is out to invade and destroy Earth. So the rest of the book is pretty much them going through phases of life, but also fighting off evil and trying to figure out how to save Earth. So, Traitors, Heroes, or Gods. Chapter 1. The site is the excavation site, desolate valley northeast of Abu Hamed, Sudan. Jacques Thibodeau pulled at the dark hair brushing the back of his neck. He preferred it cut close, but it was now at that disturbing length where it was constantly catching on his collar. "Got to get it trimmed soon," he said to himself. He was never one for style in dress or appearance. All he wanted was for things to be functional and comfortable. Short hair was cooler and more sanitary here in the field, but most important, it meant less often that he'd have to remember to get a haircut that would take him away from his work. He was rubbing the back of his neck and studying notes written over the past week when one of the tent flaps flew back. "Jack, I think you need to see this." Thibodeau, sitting with his back to the opening, remained engrossed in the dog-eared notebook and barely noticed his assistant team leader waiting at the tent's door. Absently, he acknowledged the interruption. "Jack, I think you need to see this now." This time, the excitement in his voice was unmistakable, but also he detected a thread of tension. Setting the notebook aside, he turned and looked up to meet the man's eyes. "Okay, Mike, okay." Was it tension? Or was it perhaps fear? Thibodeau wondered and then realized what he said to himself. "Jacques, what are you saying?" He'd never seen Mike Flynn show fear of anything, walking, crawling, or flying. The man was a living enlistment poster for the U.S. Marines. Even under the loose khaki shirt and trousers, his muscles bulged. He stood an even 6 feet 6 inches, towering over Thibodeau by a foot. And on top of that, his usual unruly blonde hair was also a crumpled khaki bush hat. Mike afraid? Thibodeau knew the opposite too well. He'd seen Flynn walk unarmed into places where he personally wouldn't dare drive a tank, not that he knew how to drive one anyway. Many times in the past, Flynn stood up against thugs, thieves, and bandits to protect Thibodeau and the rest of the expedition. Still, something was really bothering his friend today. Thibodeau rose quickly from the folding table that served as his desk. Reaching for his hat, he saw the holstered pistol hanging beneath it, hesitated, and then grabbed it too. He disliked wearing the thing mainly because he was just never comfortable with weapons. His family forbid them in the house, and he had been instructed from an early age about the inherent dangers of all firearms. Personally, he never saw anything wrong with guns, but it wasn't easy to overcome those years of indoctrination. Despite that, he could not ignore the necessity of carrying a weapon in the places where he worked. Therefore, he acquired a pistol, and with Flynn's help, he developed into a good shot. Strapping on the holster, he trailed after Flynn through the tent flap, thinking, "Well, whatever Mike wants, and it couldn't hurt to be safe." The site had gradually stretched over the width and most of the length of the valley. Mounds of fresh earth marked where diggers were either still working or where holes had been abandoned and not yet filled in. This was by no means a major paleontological dig. Not enough money, men, or backing for such an enterprise. No, this was just a small college's way of going through the motions to justify the alumni donations for research, and maybe even snag a grant or two. Thibodeau followed Flynn as he snaked through the excavations towards the far end of the valley. As they neared, he could hear the workers. They were definitely excited about something. Of course, the workers know that every fossil found means automatic bonuses. They're probably excited over those American dollars. Hey, if the workers are excited, this just might be our break. Maybe a complete skeleton. Curious though, what's all the mystery? If it's a real find, then what is Mike so upset about? Excited, sure. Happy, yeah. That would make sense. He attempted to study the man striding ahead of him. Typically, Flynn was silent. There was more. They finally reached the dry riverbed near the end of the valley. At this point, the bed was only about 20 feet wide. The bank on this side rose about 5 feet above the ancient river bottom, while the opposite side ran flush against the towering cliffs. 100 feet easy, Thibodeau thought as he leaned back, peering into the brilliant blue sky to search for the top of the cliff for the 100th time. Fresh earth marked where the workers had been excavating near the base of the cliff. The digging tools and fresh mounds indicated today's efforts. As Thibodeau approached, he saw that the natives had moved about 20 yards upstream and were grouped around several small cooking fires, talking and pointing at the excavations while their tea water heated. What's going on here, Mike? Why aren't they working? It's too early for a break. Flynn, who hadn't said a word since leaving the tent, was some 10 feet ahead and already down the bank. He turned, looked at Thibodeau, and then at the workers. They're a little spooked, Jack. Tell you the truth, so am I. Like I said, I think you'd better see. That caused Thibodeau to pause in mid-stride. Mike spooked? Well, now, this is getting interesting. Flynn waited while his boss crabbed down the bank. Thibodeau was in his mid-40s, but still had the same basic physique he'd had in college. Even the Marine gave him grudging credit for his agility and endurance. The smaller man could climb like a goat and normally worked 14-hour days, much of it either on his knees or bent in half, searching the ground for fossils, and then went on to work another 4 or 5 hours on paperwork. As he neared, Flynn noted his neck and ears were red again. Thibodeau had dark hair, but tended to burn easily. No sunscreen or hat again. Need to rag on him. Later. Thibodeau jumped the last couple of feet, raising dust around both men's legs. Ignoring the yellow-white cloud, Flynn turned without a word to continue towards the opposite shore of the long dead river, and Thibodeau fell in behind him. This was their fifth excavation, and both men worked well together, having learned each other's habits and quirks. Flynn liked, as well as respected, Thibodeau. Often he declared that it was a shame that a man with Thibodeau's talent wasn't in charge of a bigger expedition with accompanying money, equipment, and respect. However, Flynn thought, all that might soon change drastically. Without turning or even slowing down to speak, Flynn broke the silence again. Jack, you know this dig is a real dog. Can't expect too much, I suppose, with the working capital we had to secure a permit. Flynn referred to the measly funds that the college had allocated to hire workers and encourage local officials to expedite excavation permits. The rule of thumb was the bigger the gift to a local official, the faster that necessary papers were forthcoming. True to your research, Jack, this area does have fossils, and we got a few jaws and a bunch of teeth, which is probably all the college wants and really about all you can expect out of the spot. However, I'm standing there watching the diggers, making sure they don't throw away a whole plesiosaur or something. And I move over towards the cliff to get out of the sun. As I'm walking over, there it is. It was just plain sitting there. It's the wildest thing. I mean, all I did was look down and there it was. Thibodeau thought he knew what was coming, but he was amused at his friend's almost childish excitement over a fossil and opted to play along. So what are you talking about? There what was? You still haven't told me what's going on and why you and the workers are acting so skittish. You find a live dinosaur? Nope. Lynn turned, squatted, and pointed towards the base of the cliff. But come around here and tell me what I did find. The rock blocking his view was a common round river boulder about 4 feet in diameter, but it might as well have been a 10-foot wall. Thibodeau walked the long way around. As he cleared the boulder, however, Thibodeau looked down and stopped cold. What on earth? He quickly crouched down to examine the cliff base, inspecting the rock thoroughly for 3 feet in each direction before he rolled back on his heels and looked up. Leaning as far back as he could, he peered up the escarpment and then back at the small object jutting out of the rock some 2 inches. Even though covered in dust, Thibodeau recognized that it was a shining metal and appeared that someone formed it into a smooth oblong shape. Mike, what have you got? My first thought was a Kush artifact, but not this deep. What is this thing? That's not the response I was looking for. He paused and then took a deep breath. Look, I'm not the one with the alphabet after my name, but I figured that it wasn't embedded after the cliff was formed. That's solid rock. Granted, it's sandstone, but it's definitely solid. That thing is in there good, too. I believe that it was here when the river eroded away the face of this cliff, and it's been sitting there for, by the depth, I'd say, 100 million? Thibodeau had returned to his knees and was carefully clearing sand away from the object. He calculated that at this depth, it was probably close to 200 million years old. Shut up and help me, Mike. We'll figure this out after we uncover it. Then he froze. Wait. Oh, no. Oh, back off, Mike. Clear out of there. What? What'd you see? Demanded Flynn. His head swiveled back and forth, searching the area for a threat. Thibodeau was yanking on Flynn's shirt collar, trying to get the larger man to move. Just back off quick, Mike. No kidding. Move. Flynn's training kicked in at the hint of danger. Both men scrambled to their feet, with Flynn instinctively trailing his boss as the rear guard and his eyes rotating to catch sight of the threat. They sprinted past the middle of the riverbed, and then as they neared the opposite side, Thibodeau turned and grabbed Flynn by the upper arm to stop him. What are you doing? Flynn yelled. Before Thibodeau could answer, Flynn remembered the workers and turned to look at them upstream. Ah, he spat. We're probably scaring them so bad their grandfather's diapers are full. Eh, no matter. We'll calm them down later. What is wrong, Jack? Thibodeau looked up at Flynn. Look, Mike, I don't know what that is. I do know it's old, very old. Whatever it is, we're going to do a safe and a scientific excavation. I'm not going to chance losing. Whoa! Hold on there, short stuff. You went through that performance and had me running around like some school kid because you want to go by the numbers? What's wrong with you? Thibodeau straightened and squared himself before Flynn. Looking up into Flynn's eyes, he continued, slowly and deliberately at first, as I was saying, I'm not going to chance losing this because we screwed up like some rank amateurs. I want you to get a runner back to the base camp and find a Geiger counter. We must have one buried in one of the equipment crates. Just get one and check that thing out. Let's make sure we're not going to go to glow in the dark tonight. He stopped with a slight smile and Flynn grunted agreement. If it's safe, then have the diggers clear the rubble from the area starting with that boulder and set up a camera too. I want this all on film. The smile grew. Mike, you may have just found something very, very big. This might make the Rosetta Stone look like cold oatmeal. Flynn got very serious. That's what bothered me since I saw it. Nodding towards the cliff wall, that's definitely metal of some sort, and well, I don't want to say it's man-made. Let's just say it's not naturally occurring. Thibodeau dropped his smile now, too. He nodded, tentatively agreeing. Okay, and? So, Jack, if what we think is actually is, just how many pillars of our civilization have just turned to dust? A few sciences, philosophy, theology, they're all turned upside down. Who or what was on Earth 100 plus million years ago working with metals? Plus, what kind of metal is it? That stuff ain't silver or gold, and it shines like chrome. Not to mention the workmanship. As old as it is, I'll bet you can still see your face on it. That's what spooked me, and I guess the workers too. Most of them have worked digs before, mostly Cush digs further north or Egyptian stuff across the border, but they know what there's not supposed to be a shiny metal popping out of solid rock at that depth. They took off and stayed clear since. I heard one refer to it as the finger of God.